all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. We also want to thank our latest national sponsor, Veteran Lending Council. It is a community dedicated to educating lenders, realtors, and veterans on the VA Home Loan Benefit Program. You can check them out on Facebook and other social media outlets. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Michael F. Harris, President of the Board of the Michigan Paralyzed Veterans of America. Welcome to Veterans Radio again, Michael.
Well, thank you, Jim, for having me on. And just want to thank you guys for having this, what is it, a weekly program?
It is weekly, and it's been going on for 19 years. So by hook and by crook, Del Thronberry and I find somebody to talk to every week and get the word out.
No, that's important that veteran issues, you know, unless you have programs like this, sometimes they tend to be on the back burner. So it's important that programs like this exist.
Well, you can appreciate it. You were in the Marine Corps in 1975 to 1979. You got out and unfortunately, you about 7 years later or so, had a vehicle accident that left you paralyzed, and that changed the course of your life, certainly just as the Marine Corps did, and you now find yourself involved with the Michigan PVA for how many years is it now, Mike?
It started in January of 96. It's hard to believe it's 22 years now. No, longer than that.
It is longer than that.
20 some years, five maybe.
Yeah. Well, you've been intimately involved with keeping PVA rolling forward, both at times as its executive director, a lot of time spent as its government relations director, and now as president of its board. So we wanted to get you on to talk a little bit. Let's start it with the basics for folks who don't know. Can you explain, Mike, what the mission of Michigan PVA is?
Yeah, really, the mission is to enhance the quality of life of veterans with spinal cord injury and or disease such as MS or ALS, as well as all citizens with disabilities by advocating for civil rights, assuring quality of health care, supporting continued recreation, research, education, and healthy living.
And it's been doing that since I think it's 1961 as a 501c3 charitable organization. And I know because you and I have a long relationship and you and the general have a long relationship, you've had a lot of successes over time and taken on some big challenges. One of the things that I guess I wanted to get across to people here is that Michigan PVA has really opened up to be available to enhance the lives of all folks, certainly not just veterans with spinal cord injuries, but any citizen in the state with such a disability. And you guys work on that regularly, don't you?
Yeah, really, Yeah, I always try to remind people that what benefits our members, because our members are all dependent on wheelchair for mobility purposes, and so what benefits us benefits all citizens in Michigan also. So we try to get that point across that it's a win-win for everyone involved. And you know, when you look at the history of PVA, we were founded after World War II. We're 2,500 veterans. Came back with spinal cord injury. And back then, the VA, or the way the government dealt with the veteran with spinal cord injury, was to place them in a VA nursing home facility, even if they were married with a family. And so PVA met in Chicago in the summer of 1946. And their goal was to get a housing grant so they could make their home accessible so they could live in the community. It took about 2 or 3 years of advocating for this, and they finally were successful, where President Truman signed legislation authorizing a housing grant. And as they say, the rest is history in terms of our advocacy and what we've done, not only for, as I said, paralyzed vets, but really for the disability community as a whole. When I look back at our advocacy efforts over the years, I think that's really what separates us from the other veteran service organizations, is because of our advocacy. We put it on, it's really outside making sure our members get the benefits they're entitled to through the VA. That's really our number one issue as a chapter. Some of our accomplishments just since I've been there in 96 was we assisted the architects during the design phase of Comerica Ballpark, Ford Field, Little Caesars Arena, to make sure that the stadiums were designed and built in compliance with barrier-free design guidelines. We worked with the Detroit Riverfront Conservancy to ensure that the Detroit Riverwalk was built in compliance with accessibility guidelines. And it's amazing, you know, when you look at the facility when it was started probably about 15 years ago and where they're at now with it, it's really turned out to be a jewel for the riverfront, for the city of Detroit, and it's something that we all should take pride in. We assisted the architects when the Cobo Hall was renovated, and also we unfortunately we've had to file lawsuits in federal court because there was a disagreement on accessibility requirements. The ones that come to mind for me is the against the University of Michigan when we filed in 2006. Actually, Richard Bernstein, who now is a Michigan Supreme Court justice, represented us in that lawsuit. And our issue was the number of wheelchair seating that they were going to put in at the time. They were only going to put in 7, and the law requires really 1%. At the time, so, which would have been 1,000. So we took them to federal court. We mediated a settlement where they ended up having to put in 350 seats and also companion seating to go with that. It gave you different viewing experiences throughout the stadium. And really the whole stadium is accessible for disability groups if they're blind or hearing impaired. So really the final outcome was really a very successful outcome. And I think it was a win for the university when they look back at it. Because I know when I talked to students at the time who were disabled and in wheelchairs, they couldn't even sit with the student body because there was no wheelchair access in the locations that they sit in. So that was, and the other big thing we've done we take pride in is we filed lawsuits against City Detroit, Ann Arbor, and other municipalities over curb cuts. Those are what you see on street corners and allows people to cross the street without having to encounter curbs. And they were being installed incorrectly. And so we were able, for example, to get City of Detroit, they ended up having to redo 80,000 of their curb cuts that they had already installed. Ann Arbor, the same thing. And our goal was not only to correct the fact that they were installing them incorrectly, but it was to educate other communities going forward that they had a responsibility that when they installed these, that they had to do so according to federal and state accessibility guidelines. And We were successful in doing that because when I look at construction projects that have taken place since, I find in the majority of cases, the curb ramps have all been installed correctly. And so that's just a few examples. I could go on and on of what we have done over the years to enhance outcomes where our members don't have to encounter architectural barriers when accessing the communities that they live in.
No, that's a good and wide-ranging examples of kind of what Michigan PVA has done in the state in terms of advocacy and education. And you're right, once you sue one kind of group or help one kind of group, others kind of go, well, you know, we can do that too. If they're doing it, we can do that the right way as well. But I want to back up to something that you mentioned and help our listeners understand. And we're talking to Michael Harris, president of the Michigan PVA. You mentioned the National PVA, which started about 75 years ago now. I think it's celebrating its 75th anniversary.
Yes, last year celebrated 75 years.
And the Michigan has a chapter. MPVA is a chapter. Is that how it works? Tell us the relationship between the two.
Yeah, there's 34 chapters throughout the country. We work in partnership with the national office. The national office usually will take the lead on policy at the federal level. We will take the lead on policy here that originates from the state of Michigan. And so that has always been a great partnership. They have a lot of resources that helps the chapters be able to advocate in the communities that they represent or in the states they represent. And it's been a great partnership. When I look at PVA, there's so many great things that we have done over the years that really no one knows about. We played a critical role in the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act, the Air Carrier Access Act, which is a civil rights law for people that fly by airplane, fair housing law, the Rehab Act of 73. It goes on and on. And we are, if we have one fault, we're not very good at promoting ourselves, because we're more about outcomes instead of, getting a pat on the back. But sometimes we need to let people know what we do because we are dependent on public support for our existence. We don't get federal funding or anything like that. And so if there's one fault, we don't do a good enough job of letting people know the great things that we have done over the years.
Well, that's why we've got you on Veterans Radio, Michael. And I wanted folks to understand, they may see TV ads for PVA.org, which is the national organization, but they really should go to MichiganPVA.org. to see what the chapter here in Michigan's doing and what Mike's talking about. And if you want to support them, you can go to MichiganPVA.org and there's a donation button there and you can help them out. So don't necessarily send it to national, send it local so that Mike and his board can continue their good work. Let's talk about some more of the programming that you do. We've talked advocacy. But there's much more about what the chapter does than just advocacy and litigation. Can you tell us about some of the other programs?
Yeah, basically our sports program is really a key component. We're the ones that really started wheelchair sports back in the 50s. And it's really prevalent today. I know every year the PVA, along with the VA, host the National Wheelchair Games, and about 800 participants, people participate in that each year. And the beauty of sports, wheelchair sports, it lets people know after a disability, because when you're disabled, the world, as you know, it changes in a drastic instant. And people just think that life as they knew it is over, but through sports and other types of activities, it lets you know that you can live life with a disability and you can live a very successful life. You just have to define success maybe differently. But we have found through sports that our members claim their identity again And so we're very proactive when we support sporting events. We support the Detroit Free Press Marathon every year, which is the hand cycle division. Usually when we started 10 years ago, only about 25 people were participating in that. That's up to 50 people now, and half those participants are veterans that were injured either in Iraq or Afghanistan, so we take pride in that fact. In fact, a couple of years ago, a guy did the 26-mile course in 1 hour and 5 minutes. That just blows my mind.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's just incredible how elite these athletes are. And, you know, we also, if I could give a little plug, we're putting on an event in June, on June 24th, at the Motor City Casino. It's called Athletes with Disabilities Hall of Fame. And we're partnering with REM Rehab Institute of Michigan. And what we do is recognize elite disabled athletes that have excelled over the years. And so that will be taking place. And proceeds generated from that event will go back to support not only our National Veteran Wheelchair Games, it will support our efforts with the Free Press Marathon. It will support Michigan Wheeling Team 457, which is really PVA members created this team, Wheeling Team 457. It supports RIMS, Detroit Wheelchair Pistons, which is a wheelchair basketball team, to attend events around the country. Also, their sports ability program. And also, we sponsor the Thunder in the Valley, which is an Olympic-style tournament that's hosted each year up at Saginaw Valley College. And so sports is really, really important to our organization. As you mentioned earlier, we have a loan closet that people can call in and tap. You know, what we ask is that anyone listening, if you have durable medical equipment like wheelchairs, shower benches, or whatever, and they're still in good working condition, to let us know, and then you can bring them to us, and we will give them out to people who, for whatever reasons, insurance doesn't cover that type of medical equipment, and we will give that to them for free.
So yeah, that's a really important, that loan closet. I know I've sent folks theirs. I know our family's used it. As Mike knows, I have a niece who is now in a wheelchair, and we were just talking about it off air. It's been over 15 years now that since he first got introduced to her, and she has also found a lot of value. And I think this, I want to back up to this for a moment, and I'll come back to the loan closet. But adaptive sports is we've talked about the power of sports for veterans post discharge, as to help them not only physically stay, you know, in better shape, but mentally. So getting out and being competitive again, whether it's adaptive skiing or hunting, fishing, bowling, you mentioned basketball and marathon, all of that's really important for your psyche, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah. I remember when my injury happened in 86, one of the first things that you have to overcome is the psychological issues that, and everyone responds differently. You know, like it took me probably a month or so until I was, you know, I realized that life goes on, and that I, you know, I had to, you know, look at the world with the glass being half full instead of half empty. And, but everyone responds differently to that. And so sports is an important vehicle to allow people to realize that there is life after disability. And as you said, the adaptive sports are really taken off really in the last 15 or 20 years.
In the loan closet, I want to emphasize this again, because it is a really tremendous from the heart program and feature that Michigan PVA has, where, you know, sometimes you need that substitute wheelchair or shower chair or what have you for a period of time while something else is coming in, or a bed, or what, you know, there's life is just a little bit harder logistically when you have a spinal cord injury. So being able to call up and say, hey, I, you know, something broke, I need this till I get this other thing fixed, and being able to get a loan out of the PVA durable medical equipment loan closet, really takes a lot of stress off. I don't know if you keep statistics on how many people you help in that regards in a year, but I know for everyone who uses it, it's a huge relief.
Yeah, no, it's amazing that, you know, the crazy thing about disability is that, you know, people live their lives, you know, and then once they become disability, they have to try to learn how to navigate a different world that existed prior to their disability. And they don't really know where to start, what's out there. One of the big issues we have, for example, is homes weren't built with wheelchairs in mind. And so they need a ramp getting in and out of their home. And insurances don't cover the cost of a ramp. They might cover the wheelchair cost, but the ramp, as I always said, the wheelchair doesn't do any good for a person if they can't get in and out of their home. So we've always worked to assist them in trying to come up with funding to offset the cost of building a ramp. There's a lot of programs out there at the state level that will also assist. And so we work in conjunction with newly injured people. And they don't have to be veterans. We work a lot of times with people who aren't veterans and try to, you know, just to introduce them to the resources that are available.
Well, you've got a program called Peer Support Services, and I think that's what you're touching on a little bit, is sometimes you just need to ask somebody who's knowledgeable on the phone to get an answer to go in the right direction. Now, I think Peer Support Services is more than that, but I do think one of the values I've always seen, and I recommend people call you all the time that have these questions, hey, talk to somebody at Michigan PVA. I'm sure they've solved this problem before, or they can point you in the direction of the person who can. And being that sort of central hub networker, it seems to me is an important role for Michigan PVA. Mike, is that part of what you guys see happening?
Yeah. In fact, your wife turned me on to a veteran out in Florida just a couple weeks ago because he was denied when he tried to enroll in the VA, they denied him you know, the benefits that he should have been entitled to. So what we did was I gave him a call, introduced him to our chapter down in Florida. And I need to call him back just to see how that went. He should be a category 4 veteran like myself, because my injury was non-service related, but because I have a catastrophic injury, I'm a category 4 veteran, and he should have the same designation. And so we're trying to get him enrolled down there. And I think he'll definitely be enrolled. I don't see reason why he wouldn't be. But the peer mentoring, as you brought up, was a key element for me in 86 when I was injured. I was part of the first peer mentoring program that the Ann Arbor Center for Independent Living started. And I really found it as useful as the rehab itself, because I was able to talk to people who had been maybe spinal cord injured for 10 or 15 years. And I was able to pick their brain and find out from them that, you know, and it just reassured me that there's life after disability. When I was laying in bed, you know, when I was first injured, you always create these scenarios that never come into play, like how am I going to get gas? How am I going to go shopping? You know, all these things that, you know, you think about. And then as you talk with people that have been through it, they reassure you that, you know, that you're able to live a very productive life once you're discharged from the hospital. So peer mentoring program, we continue with Rehab Institute of Michigan. We partnered with them for about 7 years now, and we support their program because of the benefit that it has for the patients who are newly injured.
So let me back you up. That's great to know, and I think it highlights it. But I'd be remiss, and I'd probably get in trouble if I didn't bring this up. We were talking about sports, but we're not just talking like sort of competitive sports. MPVA has generated Paralympians and world-class athletes. You want to brag on that, Eddie?
Yeah. In fact, we actually have a board member who has won the silver medal a couple times. He didn't win anything in the games that took place. I believe they were, what, China or Japan, at least during the pandemic.
Over in China.
Where they held at, but he's won a bronze and two silver in the shot put. And so he's a world elite athlete. And we've had PVA members who have participated in both the Summer and the Winter Olympics over the years and been very, very successful.
Like I said, I didn't want to get in trouble for leaving Scott out of it, so we better make sure that we acknowledge we got world-class athletes here in the state of Michigan who are actively involved with Michigan PVA. So yes, as we – go ahead, Mike.
Jim, there's one thing I could just remind people of, because my injury was auto-related. At the time of the injury, I didn't know about the PIP coverage, personal injury protection, and that's really a gold mine for anyone that doesn't understand it. It, because the cost of my injury over the years has been close to $2 million. And that's all been covered by Michigan Notebook. And as you know, there have been changes made to that. In 2019, Governor Whitmer signed legislation that made major and radical changes, in our opinion, to the detriment of the program. And I just remind people, even though you have choices now of the type of coverage you want, you need to get the full coverage. So if you take anything out of this today, when you renew your insurance policy, auto insurance policy, you need to ask for full coverage for personal injury protection, because you never know. Because I never thought I would be in the position that I was in 86. You know, we all think we're invincible, but I turned out I wasn't, but thank God for Michigan No Fault.
And this ties right into the advocacy work that Michigan PVA does here in the state, thinking about those who are with spinal cord injuries and otherwise disabled, so that their voice gets heard. Michael Harris, president of the board of the Michigan PVA. If folks want to know more about the organization, where should they go and look?
Yeah, they can go to our website at www.michiganpva.org, or they can call our office at 248-476-9000, and either Brenda Weider, our administrative assistant, or Jacqueline Coaches will answer the phone. And if they're disabled, just remind people, never spend I always tell people, never spend out of pocket until you've contacted our office, because we can let you know if there's programs that might cover the issues that you're trying to get support for.
Great advice, Michael. Thanks for taking some time to talk to Veterans Radio today.
And by the way, one quick thing. I'm sorry, Jim. There's a CBOC opening up in Canton Township. It might be opening sometime this month in May, just to make the people aware that live in the Canton Township area that it's really more for outpatient type care. It's not like the Ann Arbor Detroit Medical Center, but that will be available to veterans hopefully soon.
Yeah, that's going to be a great resource. We are also waiting for that opening to be able to talk about it here on Veterans Radio. And as I said, Mike, thanks for spending some time with Veterans Radio today.
Well, thank you. And thanks for what you're doing.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans. And you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, VA Ann Arbor Health Care System, the Vietnam Veterans of America, Charles S. Kettles Chapter, Ann Arbor, Michigan, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423 in Ann Arbor, and the American Legion Presscorn Post 46, also in Ann Arbor. And the Veterans Lending Council, which advises lenders, realtors, buyers about VA Home Loan Program, and you can find them on Facebook. We appreciate all your support. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsor level, and continue to support keeping Veterans Radio on the air. And until next time, you are dismissed.